Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We just thank you for the opportunity to be here and gather in fellowship in your name and worship in your name. Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. Lord, we just pray and just pray for cooler temperatures and healing. You know what's going on with us, and we just love you so much, and we're just grateful to have your son as our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Duke. Today we're going to share with you kind of what happened, but I want to tell you as we start, it was April 5th, or I guess 5th and 6th, that we'd put on an event out here. And so Jennifer, Duke, and I were kind of recruited into helping with this new association, and this thing ended up being a whole lot more than we expected, and us three have been kind of running it, so I was noticing I was kind of getting burnt out and run down. Anyway, we were doing this event, and April 6th, I stepped on my horse, and she acted different, but I went on. I had things to do. I was busy. I got off out there to set up a few obstacles, stepped back on her. I never made it into the saddle. She broke in two and bucked me off. I landed on my hip, couldn't ride for 3 weeks. I'm still tender since April 6th. I can still put some pressure there and feel it. I was kind of upset. That horse hasn't bucked in 3 years. And so I went home, and as I'm laying around trying to get healed up, the Lord just kept telling me, be still and know that I'm God. So I realized it wasn't the horse, it was me. About a month later, I get a call and was invited to do this pack trip, which the whole idea is to rest, to pray, and kind of ride and relax. So as things started working out, started committing to that. I started looking. They wanted me to bring somebody with me. Duke actually came to mind first, but my thought was he probably couldn't get off work. So I went to several others, and it didn't work out. So God knew exactly what needed to happen. I went to Duke, and he goes, man, I'd love to go. So if you want to share something, take off from there.
Luke 5:16 tells us, but Jesus himself would often slip away into the wilderness and pray. And that's what this trip was about. And that's what this ministry is set up around, is just getting away from the hustle and bustle and of it, worldly everyday life, and just coming to the Father and praying and just giving it all to him. And those pictures don't do any justice to what it was, but if I had to sum it up, it was, you know, we'd ride our horses, what we thought was pretty good. You know, we're on flatland horses, and we come to a creek and let them drink. And, you know, first couple days there, especially the first day, you come to rest, and they weren't really resting. They were wanting to go somewhere, and you're trying to make them rest, and they don't know there's a 3,000-foot mountain in front of them that they're fixing to have to go up and over. And I think that's like us. You know, when God tells us to rest, he wants us to rest, because you don't know there's a big mountain fixing to be in front of you, and you need him to, he wants you to rely on him to get over it. And that's,
yeah, amen. And that Psalm 46:10, if you read that, it says this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The be still is a command. So we are commanded, we're told to be still, but it's also a verb, which is an action word. So a lot of times when we think be still, it's just to lay around and do nothing, but that's not right. The Bible tells us it's a command, but it's an action word. So it's not just sitting around doing nothing, but you're waiting upon God to move on your behalf or to move in your life in a fresh, new way. And the first day we went to Chama and we spent the night, there were two other people met us there to go on up to Bogosa Springs. And we talked to them, got to know them, didn't know them before that. The next morning, we left. We went to the trailhead, or went to meet them at the cafe, and then went to the trailhead. And one of the guys that we just met the night before, he said, "Man, y'all gonna have to pray for me." He was 70 years old. He said, "I've got vertigo." He goes, "I'm feeling pretty queasy right now. I don't even know if I can make it up the mountain." And he had mules to ride, and that'd make me dizzy anyway. But anyway, he was going to ride up there, so we all started praying. And not only did he ride up the mountain, but later that evening, he goes, "Man, this is a miracle." He goes, "I don't have any effects of vertigo happening." So he got to go up there. But I believe being still and waiting is waiting upon God to move afresh and a new way in your life, renewing, reviving, strengthening, helping you refocus. So be still, know that I'm God, a reminder that God is all-powerful. One night we were laying there, Duke and I shared a tent. If you haven't been around Duke, he's got these hearing aids. He takes them out at night. You better be done talking to Duke when them things come out, because he's not going to hear you. Well, that night, I'm laying in my sleeping bag, middle of the night. I think it was 2 or 3 in the morning, and all of a sudden heard this boom, and it come rolling through the canyon, thunder. Man, I jumped up. And everybody else jumped up. You could hear people in other tents. I look over at Duke. He ain't even moved. He was out. Never heard it.
I was being still.
But anyway, when I started thinking about that, that happened a couple of nights. And, you know, it's always awesome in those mountains that thunder just rolled through there. If you've never heard that, it is one of the most awesome things you could ever hear. But here's what I was thinking. Says, be still and know that I'm God. God is more powerful than that thunderstorm. And when that thunder echoed through there, of course, it woke everybody up but Duke. And we're all sitting around listening and thinking, what is happening? But God is more powerful than that. More powerful than that storm. So we have to learn, in knowing who God is, we have to be reminded that he is trustworthy and we can trust him. You want to share something else?
Yep. Mark 4:39 says, "And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush, be still.' And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm." That's every day. I don't even know what to say, really. It's just this trip and fellowshipping with Robert and other pastors and just other leaders from the church was just so comforting, I guess, you know, and it's just a reminder that, once again, to do that every day, to dive in his word and build that relationship with Jesus. And it's like those horses, you know. First couple days we kicked them out in the meadow, they were hobbled because we didn't know where they would go. You know, they'd never been in the woods before. But by the third, fourth day, hobbles were off and they were just dragging a halter or whatever and just calm, you know. And it's, y'all know how much I love to talk on a microphone, so excuse me.
The first night there, one of the other pastors from another church, he didn't sleep at all. And he had some stuff happening to him and demonic attacks, and he was up nearly all night. And so anyway, we were praying for him. And anyway, the second night rolled around. Before he ever went to bed, we were all sitting around the campfire discussing. And all of a sudden he said, "It's happening again." And so we just went over and started praying. He made the comment, "I don't know what's happening." I said, "It doesn't matter. God knows." And we started praying. We laid hands on him, went to praying. And after we were praying, he said, "My ears are on fire." He said, inside, he goes, "I can just feel them burning." So we prayed again. And that guy went in there. He was in the tent next to us. And we're all in separate tents, two per tent. But if you've been in a tent, you can talk on this end of the tent, and the guy way over here on this tent can hear what you're saying. So it's not a lot of privacy. But anyway, he went in there and laid down and slept like a baby that night. Got up the next morning. I said, "How'd you sleep?" And he said, "Man, that's the best night's sleep I've had in a long time." And that guy began relaxing. He's got a lot of things going on in his life. In the first couple of days, you could tell he was just having a hard time letting it go. But then all of a sudden, he started letting it go. You saw the gray mule and the guy kicked back on the rock. That was him. And that was the third day. He just kind of let it all go and relaxed and had a great time. So we went up. One other thing here, let me share with you. Not only does it say, "Be still and know," if you look back to Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." So not only should we take our refuge in God, because he is able and he is present during trouble, just like with the guy having vertigo, with the demonic attack. You saw a picture of me laying in the grass. That was up at the lake. That was a 9-mile ride up the mountain. We were over 11,000 feet, and there's a lake up there, and everybody was fishing and catching trout. Duke ended up being the official trout cleaner, so he was cleaning trout. I just stayed over there by the log and just laid down and was praying, dozed off a little bit, but I remember laying there and all this wind blowing, and I woke up, or I never got up, but I was awake, and I thought, "Man, that wind has really picked up." I didn't think nothing about it. We come on down the mountain, we got back to camp, and one of the other pastors said, "Did y'all see that tornado?" There was a picture of it there. And he said it was right over the lake. Nobody saw it but him. But I felt the wind, and I felt the pressure of the wind, not knowing what's happening. But it says here, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." In reality, we were in trouble and didn't even know it. To be honest, I didn't even care, because I was just resting in God. And I think that's the way a church and Christians ought to live. We ought to be able to rest in God no matter what's happening in the world, no matter what's going on in our circumstances or around us, just to be able to relax and rest, because you know what? God's got it. God's got it. He knows exactly what's going on and how to manage all these things. So we need to trust God in that. So, Duke, why don't you share one of your favorite places or favorite things to do up there?
Oh, my favorite place was the lake and the ride to the lake. It was probably the toughest ride by far. But the views on the way up there, and when we got there and we were sitting around and talking and telling stories and catching fish, cleaning fish, knowing that everything you went up, you got to go right back down. But and that was probably my favorite day of the whole trip, was just that ride and that time up there at the lake.
Amen. You know, I've got a journal that was given to me, and I filled the pages before the day, or before we ever started the trip. God was already speaking to me, and it seemed like I read a section out of the Bible, I read a verse of the day, and then I have a devotion, and I know this is God. It's not coincidence, but all three of those lined up every day, and God was making it very clear to me and my life personally, things that need to take place or things that I need to do. So I want you to know, it by far was one of the greatest trips I've been on. I was expecting, you know, to do a lot of riding, which we did. I was expecting it to be rough. It was. I was expecting to be dirty and need a shower. We were. Good thing that we were both that way, because we wouldn't have been able to be around each other.
The tent was pretty ripe by the fifth day. It was disgusting.
And the day that we did get the shower, it reminded me of how nice it is when you're able to clean up. And God just touched my heart and said, spiritually, it's that way for people who are without Jesus, who are living in bondage of sin, and who are broken. And when they come to Christ and the blood of Jesus covers them and cleanses them, and how pleasant that feel is. If you can remember back to when you were saved, how light you felt. And it seemed like the weight of the world had been lifted off of you. So I was reminded of that. One day we had the horses, as Duke said, out milling around. And for some reason, my horse was, I guess, protecting Duke's horse. I don't know. It seemed like every time horses would go towards Duke, mine would go over there and be the, I guess, the one who wanted to be the fighter or whatever. And then one day they did get in a fight, two of the horses, the day before we rode out. I mean, they turn and they're kicking each other. We yell and get them separated. And when I go over there to get my horse, she's got her right leg up in the air and kind of hopping. And I look down and that thing is swollen. And I thought, oh, man, that don't look good at all. And the other guy had his horse there. And I said, if she can get me out of here tomorrow, that's all I'm asking. He goes, that's exactly what I'm thinking. And so, I mean, it's, you can see big old goose egg on that leg. Well, there's Turkey Creek ran right by the camp, and the water was running right there, and it was pretty cold, about 40 degrees or so. And I thought, I'm going to take her over and put her in that creek. You saw a picture of her standing there. So I left her in there for 30 minutes, just letting that water run over it. And the whole time, I just had my hand on her praying that God would take care of that horse. And when I walked her out, you couldn't even tell anything had happened. The knot was gone, and everybody was like, man, that water, that cold water did it. And Duke came to me, and he goes, they can say all they want about that cold water, but I believe it was a prayer, and you praying. And you know, God can do miracles, and I think the whole trip to me was just relaxing and trusting in God. Sometimes we work hard trying to get everything moving in a certain direction. When God's telling us, be still and know that I'm God, He'll be exalted above the nations. So He is more powerful than the nations. And the inhabitants of the earth will praise Him. All the people will praise Him. So we have to learn to trust Him in all of that. What else you want to share?
On the last day, there's these other two guys that were heading home in a day before we were. So the night before that, Robert says, well, I want to ride up to this meadow that we saw from this other mountain. He goes, why don't you go? I said, man, I could sit around camp really easy. And there was a malt shop in town. I thought, man, that'd be pretty good to go get an ice cream. But this other guy, his horse was beat up. He says, man, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to stay around camp. I said, man, I can do that pretty easy. And I was laying there in bed, and I thought, you know, this is the last day here. I didn't come here to just sit around camp. And I know as soon as Robert leaves, I'll be like, man, this is boring sitting here. I should have went. So that morning we wake up, and the trail boss, he kind of gives us a direction to go. He goes, you're going to go down here. You're going to see a big, giant rock. And there was. And he goes, after that, you're going to see a creek. And it's kind of steep going up that creek. And you'll see a deer trail or a game trail. And that game trail goes all the way up to the mountain or to the meadow. Well, we see the rock. We cross a creek. And it wasn't a little steep. It was vertical, straight up. And we get to the top of that. We see the game trail. We thought, man, we know what we're doing. All of a sudden, there's no more trail. And there's down trees everywhere. And we don't know how we're going to get through it, you know. But we kind of meandered our way up there and figured it out and found a good spot to sit down and just talk. And that was another highlight for me, was just the conversations up there. And I really appreciated that for sure.
On that trip up, I was in the lead for a little while, and I mean, we're on the side of a mountain. Like Duke said, it is pretty steep, And there's down trees everywhere, and we come up to a down tree. My horse will cross trees, that's no problem, but on the side of a mountain's a different story. So we tried to go around, no way around. My horse actually took a step, made a little effort, and then backed up. So we're sitting there resting horses, trying to figure out what to do. And Duke said, "Well, sorry, horse, but this is going to be the easiest way." And he, whop, he hit his horse and went over that log on the side of the mountain. I thought, I guess we're going over the log. So I followed suit over the log. And I was thinking, you know, it'd be really easy to get hurt up here. And, you know, thank God we didn't get hurt. And he watched over us. And we were up in there and had a great time. Just, you know, being that high up, one day we were over 11,000 feet. Several days we were over 9,000 feet. And you could see quite a distance across there. And just seeing the beauty of the mountains is remarkable. And, of course, the fresh air and the coolness, it is refreshing and reviving to us. So here's what it says Isaiah 40, verse 29 through 31. This is a very good set of scriptures. And it says this: "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be, or shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So here the Bible tells us that if you wait on the Lord, then God will meet your needs. First of all, he gives power to the faint to increase their strength. So God has the ability to help us. It says he'll renew the strength. And it goes on to say he gives wings like eagles. You can soar over whatever's happening. You can run, not grow tired. You can walk, not faint. So the blessings of waiting on God and trusting God outweigh any other problem or any circumstance that arises. And I think as Christians and as a church, we have to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes it's easy to get ahead of the Lord, but we need to wait on him, because in his timing, in his way, he is going to meet the needs that we're wanting met anyway. And it'll be far better than if we try to create some circumstance or some issue for us to try to get it done. So there were seven of us on the trip, and it was supposed to be nine. Two guys couldn't make it. So the first day we packed in 3 miles from the trailhead, camped. The second day I think we rode from there about 6 miles in a light day. The following day we went 18 miles, 9 up to the lake and 9 back. And we were right at the sign. There was about 20 or 30 yards over. There was a sign that said no motorized vehicles. So we were right at the edge of that. We went into the Wiminucci Forest, where there is no motorized vehicles allowed. That's where they caught some trout. And then the day after that, we rode into town, get cleaned up, and took a shower. And then we rode the following day what they call Windy Pass. And that was kind of interesting. It was pretty steep up in there. And when you get up to the pass, the wind was blowing through there. I guess it's that way all the time. That's probably how it got its name, Windy Pass. And then the following day was that free day that Duke and I thought we were going to take it easy and do a little bit of riding, and it ended up being the hardest day because we were up and we were down and just trying to find our way around. And we heard the guide telling us that he's never been lost in the mountains. He's been temporarily confused a few times, but never lost. And so that's why I was telling Duke, we're not lost, we're just temporarily confused. And when we made it back, we said, we're real mountain men now. We've made it somewhere and back without getting lost. But anyway, it was a remarkable trip. And so what else you want to share? Anything else?
Probably the chipmunk chewing your boot and none of my stuff. Robert asked me, he had a chipmunk chew the back of his boot, and another guy had a latigo chewed off his saddle. And he says, I wonder why that chipmunk's not chewing any of your stuff. I said, well, Robert, I've been watching these chipmunks for a couple days, and if you notice, my saddle is to the left of yours. I said, and that's because these chipmunks always chew facing north. So I put all my stuff on the south side of yours, and I'm safe.
Those chipmunks are a nuisance. I didn't realize they were around. I set my feet in between two tents. And the first day, the one guy was saying that something had chewed his latigo, which was chipmunks. And so anyway, a couple of days in, I picked up a bag of feed. I had it individually wrapped, picked up a bag of feed, and feed's running out. So I got to noticing them chipmunks, we were fattening them up, I guess, for winter. They were chewing on the backs of those bags, so I moved the bags in the tent. And anyway, our saddles, of course, were outside. And my boots I put in the tent every evening, but the one evening I didn't put them in the tent, we went on our ride, and we're sitting there talking, and I picked my leg up and crossed it, and there's a hole chewed in the back of my boot. So my first thought was, Sharon's just going to have to buy me a new pair of boots, because now these are got a hole in them, and that's not going to work. But anyway, I don't think she bought into that very well, but they are a nuisance. We had the guy who guides us up there. He is an individual from Bar None Cowboy Church, and he started this about 6 years ago. He's always guided, or he don't guide, but he takes people and goes up in the mountains, hunts, just hangs out. And he took a group from his church, his pastor and a group, and they went. And his pastor said, don't stop doing this. You need to keep doing this. So every year, he gathers a group of pastors and individuals, and he takes them up there. And every year, it's different people. The weather's different. He said one year, it was so dry. I think last year or year before last, it was so dry, they couldn't have any fires. So he said they didn't have any unity around the fire in the evenings. Because they'd cook, there was no fire, people would get dark. He said they'd go get in a tent and go to bed. And so he said he was thankful to have a fire. We could sit around the fire and we could discuss and talk and share experiences together. And so anyway, this was either the sixth or seventh year that they've taken pastors. And so we got to go on this one. And it was well worth it. We had a great time. If we had it on video, we could show you, but Jimmy Holloman was there from Dublin, and he has a 3, 4, 5-year-old horse, anyway, that horse learned how to get over logs. Tell them about that.
Yeah. To watch those horses and those mules that go up there all the time, they can get around pretty good in a set of hobbles, and Jimmy's horse... He's a 5-year-old horse, and we're coming down the trail. You're talking about the Windy Pass day.
Yeah.
So we're coming down the trail. Going up, there was a log that we all had to jump, and coming down, we jump it. We get around the next corner, and I'm looking back, and here comes Jimmy on this Palomino horse, and he stops at this log and then takes this big old overrated jump, you know. And he looked like a unicorn going over this log. And Jimmy's eyes, he had these big sunglasses on. I swear you could see the whites of his eyes under those sunglasses, you know. It was pretty hairy there at times.
It was interesting. Let me say, if you don't have opportunity to go up to a place like that, I think you can find a place to get quiet with the Lord. Get in the Word, read the Word, do a lot of praying, and just let God speak to you. You know, one of the greatest things about being there is the phones didn't work, so we didn't have to worry about anybody calling us or tracking us down. There was no electronics, so if you wanted to talk, you had to talk to people or listen to people. And other than that, it was just kind of solitude in our group where you could find time to read your Bible, find time to pray, find time for God to interact with you. And I think that's what we miss in everyday life. We get so busy about our daily routine, our daily schedule, that we forget that we have a great God who loves us and He cares about us. He cares not only about your spiritual health, but He cares about your mental health, your physical health as well. And so if you don't take care of those things, you're not going to be of any use to anybody, whether you're a father, a husband, a team leader, an elder, pastor, whoever. You've got to take care of yourself physically and spiritually in order to be in the condition that God wants you to be in order to serve Him. And so take time, find a place to do that, because He makes it clear that when you wait on Him, He will bless those who wait upon Him. And He will give you the strength that's needed and the endurance that's needed to continue on. Anything else you want to share? Let me pray for us, and then our elders will come, and you can come see them if you need to. So let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much for this time, and thank You for the opportunity for Duke and I to be able to get away and spend time with You. And Lord, we, as best we can, we try to tell people what we've experienced, but I know within our hearts that we haven't covered it all. And what a great work You've done in our lives in order to meet our needs, in order to bless us and strengthen us. And Lord, I pray that as we move forward, that You would just give us the discernment and the encouragement to continue following You. I lift up this church, each person here. I pray that You'd move in their lives. I pray, Lord, that You would draw them to You and help each of us realize that there's times we need to be still and know that You're God, and let You have control and trust You in that. We love You and we praise You. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.